Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Ndiwa Kabaza, and for today, it is a Friday, and as always, we get into the economics news of the week. And to help us to unpack these matters for today, we are joined by Mr. Frederick Kirsten, who is a lecturer with the College of Business and Economics in the School of Economic Stuff that's at the University of Johannesburg. Frederick, greetings to you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
No. Thank you for taking your time to be with us. I think a good place for us to begin our conversation is just around inflation. There seems to have been some release coming out. I stand to be corrected, but I believe that StatsSA said that inflation has accelerated from around 2 to around 3.2%, if I understand that correctly.
Yes, that is true. And that's the highest since 2016, the highest jump since 2016. So that's quite a big increase from the last month. And we see that as being due to fuel price increases and also due to municipality tariffs.
In terms of that, I was thinking how big of an item is fuel? Because I do understand that fuel prices have accelerated. I've seen it for myself because the more strict part of lockdowns, we were sort of hovering around that maybe 12, almost 13 rand level for just normal petrol. But now you're sort of heading back to that 16, almost 17 rand levels. How important is fuel in a world where people are working more and more from home? Do you think if people had fully all gone back to home, we would be talking about an even higher type of inflation rate?
Yes, I think it has a big impact because if you look at a consumer basket for a normal South African person or individual, you see fuel and petrol takes on a quite big chunk of, and transport takes out a quite big chunk of their money. So I think it's very important to consider fuel prices. But one thing that's very important to understand about the fuel price increase, it is due to the demand increasing in transport and so on, and the increase in this is actually not good for the economy. Well, it is good for the economy, but the inflation can actually then harm the poor later on because then you have transport costs increasing and so on. Taxi fare and so on can actually increase with this fuel price increases.
We talk about the pressures that consumers have been facing the whole year, and it just seems as if things, I don't know, can we say that things are gonna get better for consumers anytime soon, or is it still just a downhill struggle?
Well, it is expected that inflation is actually also going to increase in the future. So, given the economy is now opening up, inflation is going to increase further in the future. That's what's expected in South Africa. And that's maybe problematic for consumers, but also for retailers, because the difficulty is at the moment there's not a lot of jobs and people are losing their jobs, so they don't spend money in the economy. So, retailers are struggling to increase their prices and get back to a full working system. And at the moment, the economy is just, I think, limping along and trying to recover. But I think it will take a few years for the economy to recover from such a big pandemic. It's the first one we've seen in our lifetime, such a big pandemic in South Africa.
Is there any guidance just around where inflation might sit for the year now, or is that sort of still up in the air?
It's expected it might go to around 4%. So it will settle around 4%, which then falls within the Reserve Bank target of 3 to 6%. And then that will also influence the Reserve Bank's monetary policy choices because they would have wanted to decrease the repo rate even further. But now with inflation picking up, they might not be able to go for an expansionary policy again in this year.
I think maybe for our listeners that might not fully understand the implications of inflation. You had sort of started talking about it earlier on to say that it's good because it sort of shows that there is increased economic activity, but over time it's going to impact the poor more than anything else. So from that point of view, what are some of the implications of rising inflation?
Well, it's all based on what causes the inflation to rise. So fuel prices will then increase maybe the transport cost later on. But if you look at basic products like the product of food prices, that's the big one you need to look at when you think about the poor and vulnerable in South Africa. So if the food prices are being kept constant, then it won't have a big, big impact on the poor, given that's where they spend most of their money on. So what positive thing we've seen is that the food prices have not increased significantly during this inflation rise. So it's more based on the municipality tariffs and fuel prices. So not food prices, which is the one thing the poor really can't afford, is food price like bread increasing too much and so on.
No, it certainly does sound like it's one of those things that is, I don't know, maybe a ticking time bomb. And we just hope that some of these effects that are being seen now will be offset by higher job creation and, you know, leading to more disposable income in the coming months or maybe the next year.
Yes, I think that's exactly true. I think this inflation increase is actually a sign of the economy trying now to pick up again. And I think there is an optimistic sense that hopefully the economy will start picking up again and people will get back to their jobs, where inflation will not, even if inflation increases by some amount, it will not influence people too much, given they can get back to jobs and get back to working and earning income. Because that at the moment is the biggest problem in South Africa, is the job losses. And the way to stop job losses and to start again with creating new jobs in order to reduce that high unemployment rate.
I think, you know, one of the things, you know, reading up, because I understand that you personally, you know, specialize in economic history and economic, you know, development, you know, with the main aim of, you know, doing some type of policy recommendations and the like. What have the last couple of months, you know, especially, you know, I'd say from the end of March until now, as an economist, what has it meant for you? Because I'm sure as a case study, this is one of those situations that you could never have dreamed about, but the data sets will be amazing.
Yes, I think the data coming out of this COVID-19 pandemic is going to be very important to see where South Africa is at. Because I think one thing that has been happening is inequality has actually increased the last 20 years in South Africa. And this pandemic has even further increased inequality in South Africa. So I think South Africa is standing at a crossroads in terms of policies and implementing policies in order to reduce the inequality, which is a very big issue in South Africa. And we see that a Reserve Bank and monetary policy can't do it alone. So they need the physical policy to assist. We need physical credibility and also reforms in policies in order to reduce this high inequality and high unemployment rates in South Africa. It has been lingering along the last 20 years, but it's just been highlighted by the COVID-19 pandemic and even just shown, come to the front even more given the COVID-19 pandemic.
You know, I think on that issue of inequality, one of the ways in which many economies and governments try to help that issue, at least raising up the poor, is to get more and more people into the middle class. What is our middle class looking like in South Africa?
Yes, our middle class in South Africa, before the COVID-19 pandemic, was struggling along. We have a very small middle class compared to other developing countries like China and India, where their economic growth is central to their middle class. And South Africa has a struggling middle class, but since the COVID-19 pandemic, studies have shown that South Africa will lose 34% of its middle class, and they will exit the middle class and go back into a vulnerable state, where they're vulnerable to poverty or even fall back into poverty.
That's actually a big number. What are some of the drivers? I can imagine that the job losses are a big one. Is it also maybe indicative of, you know, people maybe not having enough reserves or savings on hand?
Yes, that's true. Because if we look into it, we look specifically into a term in South Africa that's popped up, is the missing middle class. And this missing middle is just about the middle class missing out on certain policy benefits and so on, which is a struggling point of view for them. Because if this middle class is not supported and is not, and the tax relief is one of the ways you can actually support a middle class. So tax relief just for the middle class. But the struggling nature of the middle class the last 10 or so years in South Africa is really a problematic point of view, because the middle class is a driver for your economic growth, and a strong middle class normally drives your economic growth forward.
And what do you make of the policy responses that our government has come with over this pandemic period, specifically around some of the fiscal tools that they've brought to bear, a stimulus plan, reduced interest rates on the monetary side? What do you make of some of these responses?
I think South Africa's response to the COVID-19 pandemic was quite good. I think they really helped out a lot. I think the physical response was quite strong, especially for the poor and vulnerable households, but I think it was a little bit lacking for middle-class households. I think tax relief policies could have been used maybe for the middle class, but I do think for the vulnerable and the social grants being implemented was very good for South Africa, and it was almost just a short-term solution at the moment, just to have the people survive this pandemic. But now it's about thinking about what is our long-term plan and how we can recover from this and climb out of this COVID-19 pandemic and this long recession that we're going to be in for a while now, but we need to think about how we can climb out of it.
So then, with that in mind, how do you see the conversations around economic policy evolving now that we are hopefully, on the tail end of the effects of this pandemic? Because as you put it at the beginning of the conversation, there are a number of issues that are already plaguing South Africa and the middle class, for example, that were exacerbated by the pandemic. But now that as things are opening up and we're now heading into a future where we're hoping to start implementing policies for growth, how do you see those policy discussions evolving?
I think it's very important to understand South Africa, it needs to implement reform policies. And I think the South African Reserve Bank Governor, Mr. Lesetsha Kanyahu, said it very well. In South Africa, we need physical credibility, and we also need investors' confidence back in South Africa. Those are our two main driving points, I think. And with a good and stable monetary policy with low interest rates for the next couple of years, I think that can be done. So if we can get investors' confidence back into South Africa, domestic and foreign investment, and I think it will drive economic growth with a low and stable interest rate, and in also this physical credibility that is needed in South Africa.
And then in terms of your work, your research, what are the data points do you maybe keep an eye on? Inflation came out this week. It also sounds like you're looking quite a lot at issues that affect, like the middle class. What are the data points do you keep an eye on?
So the indicators I normally look into is business confidence. I think business confidence is a big driver for your economic growth. So it normally leads your economic growth. So if business confidence starts to pick up, you can expect the economy to pick up. So that's a good one. And then we even look at vehicle sales. You can look at new vehicle sales as also one of the big indicators for economic growth picking up later stages. And then I also just look at various individual factors. So the income of individuals, I normally use micro-level data, where I look at individual factors and how their perceptions of the pandemic and of inequality influences their behavior.
And what are these data points actually telling you right now about the state of the economy?
So at the moment, what we see is, again, South Africa is still in the recession. And as we are picking up, there is a sense that given now the lockdown has not ended, but we've moved to a lower level, I think there is a sense of optimistic about the economy picking up again. But I think it is still the COVID-19 pandemic and the virus is still at large in people's view. And so they're still reluctant to go out. And even the job losses at the moment, people don't have the money to go and spend. So even those shops are open, they're still not at full capacity, which they were before the lockdown.
No. It does sound like, one of those things that we're going to be in this situation for some time. But as we go forward, your outlook then, how hopeful are you for a recovery? We've heard many shapes, U's, V's, flat lines. Where do you see that going?
I think for the outlook, I think it's going to take a while, but I am optimistic. I think The COVID-19 pandemic has given South Africa also a chance to make sure it reforms some of its policies, make sure it addresses some of its key issues. I think inequality will be at a record high. So I think that is a big talking point for policy. And I think once we can start solving these issues like inequality and the unemployment issue by creating more jobs, I think steadily we'll be moving forward. And once we start moving forward, it's going to be a snowball effect. Because the snowball effect is as it builds up, it just becomes larger and larger. So if your economy starts growing, you can really pick up some pace and start moving forward quickly.
Actually, on that front, going forward, what are the data points, upcoming ones, are you going to be keeping an eye on? Because more and more as the economy opens up, there are different metrics that will, you know, will also be opening up with it. Because, for example, now that restaurants and tourism locations are allowed to operate, I'm guessing that you'll be looking at new data going forward. What are you keeping an eye on?
I think I will be looking at, especially the tourism sector. You will be looking at what is being sold and how the tourism sector is faring in terms of the demand. I think looking at each sector's demand, I think that's the most important part. So not just look at South Africa's demand as a whole, but maybe look at the different sectors, like the tourism sector, the retail sector, and so on, the mining sector and agriculture, and see which sectors are now going to grow in the next couple of months and a year or so, and then see which sectors are going to drive South Africa forward. Because this COVID-19 pandemic has made some structural changes to the economy. So we don't expect it to be the same as it was before the pandemic. So I think a new sectors might be driving the economy. But retail sector is one that you need to look into, because the moment people start spending money on retail, you almost see them as having the confidence now to go back into spending money and building up the economy.
You know, when you consider what's happened and some of the policies that were in place, don't you think this is a good time to be revising or revisiting some of the existing policy frameworks? For example, monetary policy in South Africa has had inflation targeting 3 to 6% for a number of years now. Is that something that's still relevant, you know, given the current conditions, or should we be making provisions to actually change that just so that we can get more people back to work and more businesses to open up or more businesses to grow?
So there's a lot of discussion about the mandate of a Reserve Bank and changing it maybe to also fully look at employment and solve South Africa's big issue of unemployment. But then there's also issues with the credibility and losing its independence. And I think in South Africa at the moment, I think the monetary policy should be used as a indicator to, or should be used in tandem with the fiscal policy. Because I think it's true that monetary policy can't solve all the problems in South Africa. They can assist, but I think the true power lies within the fiscal policy to drive South Africa forward. And I think at the moment, I won't revise any inflation targets. I would keep it the same just to get that consumer confidence and business confidence back. And then once the dust has settled and we're recovering, we can look into other measures for monetary policy if needs be.
And then lastly, on these issues of the national policies, one of the documents that I always like referring to, because it seemed as if it was a big wish list at the time, but if implemented correctly, it would have been something really amazing for the country, is the new development plan. Is this the time for us to go back and maybe redraft a document like that? Because whatever we thought we were going to do by 2030, COVID-19 is showing us that that might not happen.
Yes, I think that is definitely true. I think the COVID-19 pandemic has created structural changes that we need to address and we need to incorporate in a new development plan. And I think we'll have to revise the development plan, because we won't be reaching the targets we set out in 2030 due to various reasons, but a COVID-19 pandemic is one of them. So I think reforms and restructuring is needed in terms of those policies. And again, especially addressing the issues of inequality and unemployment in South Africa.
No. So that's been us for today. Thank you so much to Frederick Kirsten, who is a lecturer with the College of Business and Economics at the University of Johannesburg, just giving us some insight into some of the economic data that came out this week, specifically around inflation. He was just explaining that Inflation did accelerate to some of its highest month-on-month levels since 2016, and a lot of it is being driven by increasing fuel prices. Also talking about the fact that the middle class is at risk, and that makes sense given the state of savings, the state of jobs, and the disposable incomes that are being eroded and quite fiercely, you know, being destroyed during the lockdown period. And just ending off talking about the fact that there are a number of policy reforms that may need to be implemented to get the country back onto a growth path, and that in the long term, there are some tools that the government can use, such as monetary policy. The first goal, just stabilize the country and the economy. And then after that, we can actually revisit and maybe possibly redraft some of these things, especially because the pandemic has actually shown us that the plans that we had are actually not going to be adequate enough to take us into a future of growth.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Inflation is one of those things that's quite tricky to manage and to balance, which is why the South African Reserve Bank actually has that target, 3-6% range, that they hope and aim to have inflation sitting at during a period, and at any given time it needs to be sitting between there. Because on the one hand, inflation is one of those indicators that actually shows that there is activity going on, that there's more production, that there's more money in the economy. But at the same time, if it does run away, then it becomes quite an issue. And you know, the neighbors in the north, Zimbabwe, is quite an easy example to actually show, you know, hyperinflation sort of twice within the space of a decade, of what happens when monetary policy is not controlled and you allow your inflation to get out of hand. But more importantly, as more and more of these data points come out and StatsSA sort of starts giving us a more, you know, robust impression of what's going on in the economy, it also bodes well, you know, for just seeing what's happening on the ground. Because we can theorize and say that now that people are back to work, or that, you know, we move from level 4 to level 3, now to level 2, that we're going to have more and more opening up. But what does opening up actually mean? So it's good to see that on the ground we're having, there is that positive effect. Things are happening on the ground, and hopefully this means that jobs will be coming down the road, and that more and more business activity also mean that people have more disposable incomes, because it does become that virtuous cycle, and that's what the economy is. And then on the last point, that decimation of the middle class is actually quite alarming, because as we spoke about, the middle class is one of an economy's way to pull more and more people out of poverty, because it's the middle class, right? You're no longer poor, but you might not necessarily be wealthy, but you know, you're good enough to be able to have a reasonable standard of living. You're able to, you know, educate yourself, and, you know, entertainment, you know, just have square meals, able to educate your children, food on your back, roof over your head, issues like that. And if you have more and more people coming out of the middle class and becoming more and more vulnerable to poverty, then it's sort of one of those situations of taking, you know, one step forward and two steps back, sort of thing. Because as the economy grows, we have to first, before anything even happens, when you talk about growth, you're not growing for growth's sake. You're first growing to claw back the losses, to get you back to where we were pre-COVID, and then after that, now you have to actually start growing. So there sort of has to be this double effect that has to happen in the economy, where growth has always been, has been hard to come by for the country in the last decade, but now you're asking that same economy to almost grow twice as fast, where it's been so hard to achieve even just 1% of growth over the last 3 years. So it's a tall ask to businesses and to organizations and to the government, but it's just one of those things that just has to be done. We need to get more people to work. We just need to get more money into people's pockets and just to get this economy going.
So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab.
on Twitter, where hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Didi Mashamaite. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.